in our series, Field Training. This is week number 14, or lesson number 14, week number like 87 or something like that, lesson 14, and same lesson as last week, so if you have your lesson, get it out. If you need one, Brother Steve's ready to help you out. If anyone need a lesson this morning, we have some left over from last week. All right, we're all set. Does anyone need a pen this morning? I think we're good, Brother Steve. Appreciate that. We're going to turn again to Luke chapter 10, if you would. Luke chapter number 10. And whenever you find your place in Luke 10, if you wouldn't mind to stand, and we will read our passage. We're not going to read the entire account of the 70 that were sent out. We're just going to read about what Jesus wants them to do when they meet new people, when they meet a stranger who they want to eventually introduce to Christ. And we've told you, if you want to introduce someone to Christ, that means you need to know them. You need to know Christ, you need to know them, then you can introduce. Now, you can just give someone a tract. That's a blessing. Just get the gospel out there. But if we want to introduce the lost to God, we need to know the lost. And so that's what Jesus wanted with these towns that he sent the 70 to. He wanted these people to get to know them. And then when Jesus comes by, they can be introduced to each other. How does that happen? What's the process? Verse 5. Jesus says, "And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, Peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again." So the idea there is, if they allow you into their house, stay. If they don't want you in their house, go to the next house. And if people want to let you into their life, then enter. Get to know them. Invest in them. If they don't want you in their life, don't be creepy. Go on to the next. Make sense? And then what? Verse 7. "And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they get, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein." And then we get to what we're after here. "And say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you." This is what it means to introduce the lost to God. This is what it means to develop gospel relationships. And we're working on that today. So let's pray and we'll get into our lesson. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, God, that you loved us enough to reach out. And God, we're thankful for that person in our life, whoever it might be, who brought the gospel to us, who took the time to invest in our lives and introduce us to you. Pray that you bless them. And Lord, help us to be the same. Help us to have a burden to reach the lost and develop gospel relationships with them, get to know them and bring them to you and you to them. Lord, pray that you bless that time. Help us as we prepare. Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. So the lesson title is Tips on Developing Relationships. And we've spent a long time, and hopefully at this point you're convinced how important it is to develop relationships with the lost. As we're thinking about soul winning, in a sense, if we're talking about evangelism, as we're talking about working the field, it's a little bit, for some of us, a paradigm shift, a change in thinking as it comes to evangelism. I think some of us are used to the, you know, cold turkey. You know, if you were to die today, what would happen to you? There's a place for that. We're used to giving out tracts and all of that, and there's a place for that. But I think there's a little bit of a change in thinking here where we need to be thinking more long-term than that. We need to be thinking more personal than that. We need to be getting into their lives. We need to be working the field, which takes work and time, doesn't it? And the whole time trusting that God's going to work. But I hope you're seeing how important it is to get to know them and develop a relationship with them, and how that plays a role in getting the gospel to them. And so what we need to do first is develop relationships with the lost. We don't need to come in and just ask someone, you know, if they're saved right off. We don't need to jump down their throat and force the gospel down their throat. We don't need to call out their sin and make them feel, you know, before you give the good news, you give the bad news. We don't have to jump in with the bad news, you know, and say, hey, you know, hi, my name is Chad, and I want you to know, if you die today, you're going to hell. You know, let's not do that, all right? That's not going to be helpful. We need to get to know them. They need to know we care. They need to know, because we do care, and we love them. We don't just love getting the gospel to people. We love people. And because we love people, we want to get them the gospel. And so that'll show up in how we treat them and how we develop relationships with them. We talked about some things here, some tips. We talked about inviting unbelievers into your life. You know, if you love the lost, you need to get to know the lost. And to get to know them, you've got to spend time with them and invite them into your life. We talked about that highway that life often feels like, where we're just speeding by each other, right? And trying to get to our destination. We're not looking left or right. We're not trying to get to know anyone. We're just trying to get our stuff and get out, right? Go to the store, you go in, you get your things, you leave. But we don't see the souls around us oftentimes. And by the way, they don't really see us. Everyone's perfectly content with just flying by each other. And so we don't want to crash into their lane, but we want to enter their lane. And we want to notice them as a human and interact with them and make time for them. And in your day, as you have a destination you're headed, make room for a stop along the way to talk to somebody and get to know somebody. Because that's how we're going to reach them. That's how we're going to reach them. We've got to develop relationships. And we said it, you know, if we don't like it, if we don't like people, you know what I'm talking about? I just don't like people. Well, you need to stop that. All right. You need to love people, all kinds. And if we would consider ourselves introverts and not ones to go make friends with people, it's okay to recognize that, but don't see that as a virtue. See that as something we need to overcome. And we need to learn to talk to people. We need to learn to develop relationships with people. We need to learn to talk to somebody we don't know. Because if we don't do that, we're not going to lead them to Christ. You see? And the Bible is clear. We are to walk toward them that are without. That them that are without are people you don't know, that aren't in your circle. You don't know them. They're not part of the family of God. There's that part. But we need to go out and talk to people that are lost and develop a relationship with them. And so we need to work on that. We need to work on that. And some of us is more natural than others, but all of us are called to it. All of us are called to it. Number two, we said use the natural rhythm of your everyday life. Think about your neighbors. Think about your coworkers. Think about your employees. Think about community opportunities. Things you're already doing, just do them, but notice the people that are around you when you do them, right? You have neighbors. Sometimes we just ignore our neighbors. We don't think about it. So be more intentional, you know, as you see them, as you're both in the, you know, your perspectives, respective driveways. You know, give a little hi, you know, how are you? Good to see you. Say howdy neighbor. That's always fun, all right? Very American, okay? And make sure they know you exist. Make sure they know they exist, huh? And develop that. And we need to be more people oriented that way. We have coworkers, and we're used to just doing our job and keeping our nose to the stone. And hey, you need to be good workers. You need to be hard workers. You need to be focused. But there are opportunities to talk and interact. And instead of interacting about how the Huskers finally won a football game, you know, which is hey, that's part of it. That's okay. And maybe talk about that. But know that in the end, where you're headed is you want to get to know this person. So you can get the gospel to them, you see. There's times for that. You know, our coworkers are good about using their employee time to gossip or trash people or complain. How about we use our time at work that we have opportunity to speak to talk about the Lord and talk about how much we love having a job and that God provides. How's that? and talk about the good things that people are doing at work, and then eventually get to the gospel, you know. Letter C there on page 2, we talked about employees where you routinely do business. You know, you might say, you know, my job is hard because I don't work with lost people. You know, I feel you. You know, my coworkers are, I think, are safe. You know, if you've met Brother Tim and Brother Mike, Miss Cindy, you know, I think they're safe. You know, so there's not a lot of evangelistic opportunity at the church office. You know, and some of you work at home. Some of you work in places where you just don't have that opportunity. But all of us get gas. Right? All of us buy groceries. I know sometimes Amazon and, you know. But how about we just decide, I'm going to buy this thing at Family Fair. Everything else, get on Amazon. How about just go find one thing that I'm going to buy every week, and I'm going to go through this line with that cashier every time. You know what I'm saying? Yep. You go buy and get your Diet Pepsi, you know, at the gas station, whatever it is. But see all of those opportunities as gospel opportunities. And again, that doesn't mean see those opportunities as times to force the gospel down someone's throat and ask them why they never come to church, you know. And no, we need to get to know them. Enter their lives. Enter their lives. Make sure they know you care. And then we'll get the gospel to them. Make sense? Yes, sir? It's true. The people that know you well know you go to church. You know, and you know, you can invite them here and there. Make sure they know that they're invited. But there's no reason to bash them over the head about it. And listen, if they're lost, can I just tell you, lost people don't want to come to church. If they want, let me help you with this. If we have a church that lost people love coming to, that might be a problem. Because the natural man understandeth not the spiritual things of God. And so if they come here and they're like, this is the best! Yeah! Yeah. They probably do love it. But I don't. Probably not a lot of spiritual things happening. You know what I'm saying? So it's okay that a lost person isn't very, very excited about coming into Valley Avenue Baptist Church, and they're not excited about the choir music, and they're not excited about preaching for 40 minutes. That's okay. But invite them. Know that they need to know they're wanted. They need to know they're invited. And when they do have something come up, and they go through a crisis or something, and they realize the importance of spiritual things, they might not understand spiritual things, but they realize the importance of spiritual things, they'll know, hey, that guy goes to church. Maybe I'll go with him. He wants me to come. You know what I'm saying? But let's not be shocked that lost people don't want to come to church. Let's not be shocked about that and upset about that. Let's invest in their life. And here's the biblical model. If you go through the book of Acts, people got saved and then they came to church. That's how it works. That's how it works. So, amen. Thank you, Brother Tim. That's a blessing. So we need to enter the lane of the lost and walk toward them. You notice Paul said to walk toward the lost, not call the lost to walk toward us. We aren't to make this place a rock concert so the lost want to come here. We go to them and reach them. By the way, on that note, though, we said in page 3, church. And you know, there will be lost people who come to church. And when a guest comes in the doors of Valley Avenue Baptist Church, that says something about them. That says, for some reason, they wanted to be here today. Sometimes it's just a friend, but you know better. You know as much as I do. Just because someone's your friend doesn't mean they want to come to church with you. And so if they're coming, there's a good shot they're looking for something. And let's help them. Let's make it as easy as possible. Let's remove all the barriers we can to help them find what they need, which is the gospel. They might not know that yet. But anyway, there's going to be lost people at church, and we need to help them. We need to be mindful of that. Okay? All right, let's jump into number 3. Number three is this, obstacles. I think I gave you this blank last week, I'm not for sure. Obstacles to overcome and helpful tips. So as we're thinking about the importance of reaching the lost, the importance of building relationships, here's the thing you need to know. Anything that God wants you to do, there's going to be a part of you that doesn't want to do it, and there's going to be a part of you that looks for reasons not to do it. And so if you could recognize what those reasons are and say, nope, I'm not going to allow that to affect me, then you'd be in a lot better position. Okay. So the first is this. Letter A is time. Time is often an obstacle to us doing this very thing. Number one under that. Making friends and maintaining relationships takes time. It just does. It takes time. If you're going to build a real relationship with somebody, you're going to have more than one chat with them. You're going to have to be intentional about it. And so prioritize the people you spend time with and carve out time for the lost. Make that part of your week. Figure it out. Jesus invested in both his followers and unbelievers, didn't he? And his mission statement shows his priority for the lost, which is Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to seek the lost. Remember, the Bible says that no man seeketh after God, but God is seeking after them. And that's our role. We need to seek after them, as Jesus did. So involve your family in evangelism. You know, you might say, listen, my family is very important, and it is. Let's not diminish the importance of family. God's very pro-family, and God instituted the family, and I think in America we're lessening the value of family and spending less time with our family. And so we need that. But don't allow something that is good to pull you away from something else that's good, right? We can't allow time with family to pull us away from church things. We can't allow time with family to pull us away from reaching the lost. And so a good way to do that is to invite your family in these things. Make church time family time. Make reaching the lost family time. Go together. Go to a park as a family and reach some other families, you know? Whatever that means, do that. Because we cannot sacrifice our call to reach the lost. And so that's a part, but that's a big deal. Evangelism takes time. And we're just going to have to find it. Whatever your context is, whatever you're dealing with, we need to look at our schedule, and we need to make time for the lost. You know, it's a funny thing, but pastors struggle with this. You know, if you're going to write four sermons a week, if you're going to minister to your church family and sit with them and counsel them, and have Bible studies and discipleship, all that stuff is so, so important. But, you know, it's funny how many pastors aren't involved in reaching the lost. But we're all called to reach the lost, aren't we? Every one of us. We could all find a reason not to. But we need to be involved in somehow developing relationships with the lost and reaching them with the gospel, seeking and saving. So time. Time is a potential obstacle. Letter B, uncomfortable situations. Uncomfortable situations. Many Christians are uncomfortable with the lifestyle of unbelievers. Alcohol, crude language, smoking, all that. And by the way, that's good. You should be uncomfortable with that. You shouldn't be excited about being around those things. And so stay true to your convictions. Don't compromise. But don't expect unbelievers to clean up their lives so they can spend time with you. It's good that they respect that a Christian is in the room, and they try to adjust the way they speak and stuff. But there's a level to where there's just going to be sinful activity and behavior and thinking and speaking, where you need to make that strike that balance to where you're not compromising, but you're still reaching the lost. Okay. Jesus, you know, sat and had dinner with the publicans, and I have a feeling their conversation wasn't always spiritual. But we have to be willing to wade out in the muck sometimes and reach the lost. But be wise. Be wise. Do not compromise, but we can take that too far as well. Always remember that Jesus is their primary need. They don't need rebuke. They need Jesus. You don't need to yell at them for drinking or smoking or using foul language. You don't need to do that. We can tell them we're uncomfortable with it, but we don't need to yell and scream at them. They are lost. And we can't preach that you get saved and then Jesus helps you, and at the same time yell at the lost who don't have Christ to help them. Are you seeing that? So, here's what we need to do. We need to be willing to bring light to dark places. But again, you have to be discerning. We're not going to go chill at the bar. That's not what we're doing, right? We're not going to go to the poker game to reach people. We need to be wise, but we still need to bring light to dark places. Letter C. Another obstacle, there's few unbelievers in your life. We talked about this. A lot of us face that situation. Few unbelievers in your life. That's a blank, it's few. So with that, investing in gospel relationships is a choice. It's a choice we need to make. It doesn't just happen. And because it's a choice, you can choose to change. And we already gave you some tips about that. Go make it a point that you're going to go this on every Tuesday and buy this thing every week. Or sometimes you get gas instead of paying at the pump. Maybe go in and pay at the. It's a little bit more inconvenient. It's true. But we need to bump shoulders with the lost. We do. And you won't regret it. Letter D, fear. Fear is an obstacle oftentimes. Fear. Some common fears that Christians face is fear of rejection, fear of saying the wrong thing, fear of hurting a good relationship. And you know, those fears are not unfounded. You, if you do this and if you attempt to develop relationships with people, we told you, remember when Jesus said to the 70, I just sent them out, you're going to be like lambs among wolves, remember that? It's a vulnerable thing. It's a vulnerable thing to enter someone's life and to allow them to enter your life. So there is a chance of hurt. There is a chance of rejection. There is a chance that they will take advantage. Those things probably will happen. You need to be willing to pay that price. And the way to overcome that fear is by saying it's okay if I'm rejected. And it probably will happen, and that's okay. I'm not going to allow myself to be bitter about that. I'm not going to be upset about it. I'm probably going to say a wrong thing here and there. It takes time. It takes practice and with these things. And then you pray for God's grace in those times. You know, as long as you're trying and sincerely trying to follow God and trying to do what His Word says and being wise, then you can trust that God will help you. He will give you the words to say. And if you say the wrong thing, His grace is there and He can help. Hurting a good relationship is a big one, because we're going to talk about next week. We're going to develop a relationship, and oftentimes those relationships are developed with the lost over something that's not the gospel, because they're not interested in the gospel yet. And so you develop a friendship with someone, you develop a relationship with someone, but at some point you got to get the gospel to them, and we're scared that, okay, my new friend, I'm going to kill our friendship if I bring Jesus in. You might. But you have to remember, this friendship was not just so that you can have a friend. This friendship is so that they can know Christ. And at some point, it's got to happen. We'll talk about next week, next time, after revival. We'll talk about how to bring the gospel into the relationship. And you need to be okay if the relationship goes south. Jesus said that the world will hate you. Jesus said that He came not to bring peace but a sword. So there's going to be a level of that here and there. So you just need to be ready for that. And so these fears don't just go away. They have to be confronted. They have to be faced. And so whatever your fear is, think about it biblically and claim verses from the Bible. And recognize that God is present with you. He wants to help you. And then take steps of faith to reach out even though you have those fears. Okay? But don't let fear stop you. Letter E is selfishness. Just frankly, oftentimes a barrier to us doing this is selfishness. Because it's not easy. Evangelism's not easy. And it's probably not in your comfort zone. It's not something you're used to doing. And as with any other sin, what sin? Why are we talking about sin? Okay, pause. What is sin? Sin is refusing to do what God says to do. Or sin is doing something God says not to do. And if God tells us to go out and actively reach the lost, if we refuse to do that, and I don't care what the reason or excuse is, if we say, I am not going to be involved with this, then hear me loud and clear, it is sin. James says, for him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so if you have decided up to now to say, I am not going to do this, I'm going to leave this up to somebody else, then what you need to do is admit your sin, admit your selfishness to God, admit, confess it as a sin, and ask God for help. And start making changes in your thoughts and your actions. Change how you think about this. Change what you do with this. And get involved with reaching the lost. You may need to ask a friend to partner with you in prayer and hold you accountable. There's value in accountability. And say, hey, ask me every once in a while if I've been trying to reach lost people, because I need to. He's called us to. He's called all of us to this. Yeah. All right. And last, number four, ideas. Ideas for building gospel relationships. Ideas for building gospel relationships. Letter A is this, pray. Pray for ideas. You're serious about this, you want to be involved with this, you don't know how, ask God for help. Pray for opportunities to develop gospel relationships. You'll be shocked by how God does that. And he brings someone into your life. And I haven't decided yet, I haven't found out if God's always been doing this and now we're noticing, or if God is actively working because we prayed. Doesn't matter. You pray, God, bring a lost person into my life that I can bring the gospel to and get to know. You'd be surprised how quickly that happens sometimes. Promise God, when you pray, promise God that you'll take advantage of the opportunities he gives you. God, you bring someone in my life, I will get to know them. I will try to bring the gospel to them, okay? Here's some ideas. Letter B, we'll start with ideas for women. For women. So, one, if you have children, we mentioned this last time, but start a play date with another mom in your church and then invite two or three unsaved neighbors. That'd be a good idea, huh? Get together with another family in the church who has kids. They can play together. That's good. And then invite maybe some neighbor kids to come and their parents. And they can see what it is to have Christian friendship that way. You can organize a tea or dessert for women who live in your neighborhood. You just say, hey, come over. We'll have tea. Brother Tim, tea party. Okay? Just kidding. Okay, women and men are different. Okay, just so you know. This is the women's side. All right, number three. Welcome new neighbors with a plate of cookies. Just go by and say, hey, I just wanted to bring you these cookies. You don't have to say anything except for that. You're like awesome, okay? Make cookies, bring it to them. And if you're married, you have a husband, have him try the cookies, okay? Because we need to make sure they taste good, right? That's why. Okay, very important step, especially for Chelsea. You need to know. All right. And then give thank you gifts to your children's teachers, your hairstylists, things like that. If your kids are in school, you have that connection that way. Hair stylist. I don't hardly know my hair stylist, but ladies, you know your hair stylist. And so use that. All right. Letter C. Men. Invite your neighbors over to watch a game. Maybe like the Nebraska bowl game that's coming up. Amen? Boom. Eligible. Anyway, do that. Instead of going to their place, where they're probably going to drink and do all of these things, invite them over and help them see what it's like to watch a game sober, That's good. You could follow along, all right? Pizza, all that. Men love fire. Amen. It's fire season. Like, not, don't, you know, in your backyard. Small fire. And invite your friend, your neighbors over. Marshmallows, s'mores, hot dogs, stuff like that. Host a pancake breakfast for the guys in your neighborhood, maybe your coworkers, something like that. Whatever you enjoy doing, invite unsaved friends to join you doing it. If you like to bike or hike, you're a reader, maybe do a book club thing, running, golf, whatever. Try to invite the lost into what you enjoy. Get a membership at a gym. Find a workout partner. These are all just ideas. And so we'll read the conclusion and it'll clear it up. Obviously, you don't have to feel pressure to try every one of these ideas. None of these are like, if you're not doing this, you're doing wrong. These are just things to get your mind going. And you might have say, I'm not doing any of those. And okay, don't have such a critical spirit, okay? This is to get your mind going. What would you do then? You know, what are some things you can do to invite the lost into your life? What are some things you enjoy? You say, you don't know my neighbors. They'd never come over for a pancake breakfast. I know some of you. All right. Well, what would they do? All right. Smart guy. Come up with something. We all need to be involved with this. And we need, and it takes intentionality. It takes some creativity sometimes. It takes time. And it takes money sometimes. It takes you working at it. And so these are given to get you started in the right direction. There are many ways to meet and connect with people as there are people. And there's no way we can give a list of every way that you can do this. But as you decide to intentionally develop gospel relationships, you'll eventually find many of your own ideas. And here's the point. You need to make it a habit of being friendly and outgoing regardless of your natural temperament. If you're abrasive, you need to work on that. Your natural resting face doesn't look very happy. You need to change it. You know, if you get irritated, you just need to confess that to God, because what that is selfishness, because it's not going your way, and you don't like it. You're just gonna have to get over that. Get over yourself a little bit. And we need to invest in people. Servants don't need it to go their way. Servants are trying to help others, you know. We need to be involved with that. And whatever your natural tendency, your whatever your, you know, your, what's that word that we all have? We all act different. So it's totally blank. What is it? That's it! Thank you. Whatever your, this pulpit is like a brain blocker. Whatever your personality is, it's not an excuse. You know, we need to work with that, and we need to use that and reach people. And enter the lives of the lost. Bring them the gospel of Jesus Christ and build gospel relationships. So then next time what we're going to do is we're going to help you learn how, at the right time and from a place of deep trust, to direct the conversation to the gospel. You need to eventually get there. You need to eventually get there. You don't just start there. Remember, Jesus said, you just, peace be into this house, let me in. We'll eat, you know, we'll drink, we'll be here a couple days, and then heal the sick, prove to them that you're from God, and then teach them about the kingdom of God. And so there comes a time where we need to talk about the gospel. How do you do that? How do you introduce your lost friends to your best friend? And that's what we'll talk about next time. We'll give you some very practical help that way. But first, we gotta enter the lives of the lost. We have to do it. Pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for, Lord, these people who have a desire to follow you, who come week in and week out and have sat and learned, Lord, these things. And Lord, I pray that you bless them for that. I pray that you give them courage and faith, wisdom, Lord, to get involved in reaching the lost. I pray, God, that you would break our hearts for the lost and their need, the gospel. And help us, God, to enter the lives of those around us. And Lord, I pray that you would bless us next time as we get into transitioning to that conversation where we introduce them to you, God. this whole thing. We need you for it. God, I pray that you bless the rest of our day today. Be with the service to come. Be with the time of fellowship, even now. We love you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.